What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Final hour on this show, the show of the people on a Monday, but we go live and local all day long, every day. Light the Tower coming next in 1 hour. Of course, Chad and Zay through the midday, Rod and Hards this afternoon, all the way to Texas Hoops tonight, Texas Hoops. And I know between Rod and Hards on Ball Don't Lie and Texas Hoops pregame at 7:30 ahead of the matchup with Baylor, it'll be Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters, because we know soccer matters in these parts. It was surprising for me to see when I was on my trip, Buck, that Claudio Reyna out as essentially the general manager of the Austin FC.
Well, they didn't oust him. He oused himself. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on, you know, with what's going on in the U.S. national team, sure, and everything else. So,
well, he's the architect helped along with Josh Wolf to build that team, and he's stepping aside. And they've promoted from within, at least for now, on the interim level. But
and I would think that's family business there.
Yeah,
a lot of that is about his family. So
I'm sure Glenn Davis will have more on that coming up for his hour on Soccer Matters tonight. Claudio Reyna out there. I mean, the way it was written from the announced on Friday that he has resigned and will stay on as a technical advisor. So there's the soccer. But Soccer Matters, that's how we do it, live and local today. All the championship conversation, the preview of Texas-Baylor. This Baylor team, Buck, not only have they had Texas's number the last half decade, 12 of 13 wins, they've won six in a row. This is a red-hot Baylor team. Remember, they were 10-5 at one point, 0-3 in the Big 12. They're now 16-5, and they are coming strong in the Big 12 Conference. They beat Arkansas on Saturday up in Waco as part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Big 12 won 7. SEC won 3. Texas was part of the 3 teams who lost on Saturday. Of course, they lost to a top 4 team on the road in Knoxville. They've got to bounce back pretty quickly tonight against the Baylor Bears. If you look at the Big 12 standings, Buck, here's how enormous this game is tonight. Kansas State 6-2 in the Big 12 through 8 games. Texas is 6-2. Iowa State is 6-2. So we know tonight is the ninth game of the Big 12 schedule. We know it's an 18-game gauntlet. Home and road with 9 other teams. So you're going to play your 18-game gauntlet, and tonight is the curve into February. But a win tonight, and you get to 7-2.
Yeah, you know, last week I was saying that you get these little stretches where you win 3 games in a row. That's a good thing. You lose 3 games in a row, you can be out of touch.
Yeah. Well, look, Baylor's thinking the same thing, because they did start on a 3-game losing streak to start conference. If they win tonight and beat Texas, they'll have the same record as Texas. Both will be 6-3 in the Big 12, and that's what Scott Drew, I'm sure, is. Because right now Texas is ahead of Kansas. They're ahead of TCU, and they own a win over TCU. They're tied with Iowa State and Kansas State, and they play Kansas State. Think about what this week can be if you see it as an opportunity for the Longhorns. If you beat Baylor tonight to get to 7-2, Saturday you go to K-State to play the Wildcats in Manhattan, the return engagement game. They beat you here.
Yep.
You'd have to go there, and you know, you could be alone in first place. But that's a massive, massive if. I mean, you got to beat both teams, and you know, you could be on a 4-game skid before you can turn the page to Fog Allen Fieldhouse on Monday night. So,
well, I don't think it's going to happen if your bench outscores your starters.
You're 100% right. I mean, if you can get – and that's when Texas is at their best, when they're – getting production all the way down the lineup, and their starters are performing, the bench performs. And, you know, yeah, you're right. The leading scorers for Texas against Tennessee were Jabari Rice off the bench with 21 and Brock Cunningham off the bench. You know, he had 11. But, yeah, when Brock Cunningham off the bench scores as many as Marcus Carr?
Yes. That's
going to be a problem.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem. But Texas, I did see where Jay Billis, you know Jay Billis, he is, Sal in New York, who calls the blitz, hates Jay Billis.
He does.
The Jay Billis put out, because Texas and Tennessee were the College Game Day game on Saturday, he said Texas is one of the 11 teams he believes could win the national championship. One of the 11 teams on his list. And that on that list, Buck, includes Purdue. You see what Purdue did yesterday?
Wow.
Smacked around Michigan State. Zach Edey may have locked
up monster in the middle.
38 points he may be, I mean, most people would say he's the player of the year as of now in college basketball at number one ranked Purdue. And that was the biggest surprise from the SEC Big 12 showdown is Oklahoma, the ninth place team in the Big 12, beating down the number two team in the country in Alabama.
Even West Virginia got a nice win.
Yeah. Now the bottom of the Big 12, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Oklahoma, all got victories. All got victories in the and you know swung the balance. And that's what we talk about, top to bottom, the Big 12, the 10 teams.
No, it's a game-to-game deal.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you start thinking you got a nice little streak going, like Baylor, get that taken right away from you tonight.
Well, yeah, Oklahoma winning over, because that would you would have penciled that in as a loss for the
for
Big
sure.
12, right? Number two team in the country with Nate Oates and company coming in, and Oklahoma blew their doors off. But you also probably wouldn't have expected TCU to go to Mississippi State and lose. I mean, the hope that, you know, Mike Miles Jr. suffered a pretty significant injury in that game, unfortunately. Hated to see that. And Iowa State lost to Missouri pretty handily. So probably wouldn't have expected that. But other than that, Big 12, 7-3 in the challenge. All right, the other big news, aside from the Super Bowl being set yesterday, are the Dallas Cowboys. Let me just say, because I did my last show last Tuesday and then took a few days off, I'm surprised that they have just completely dismantled the offensive coaching staff for the Cowboys. Are you surprised by that?
Well, a little bit. I'm surprised about Kellen Moore. I would think that he would have at least another year. This offense has been, what are they? Aren't they top 10 in scoring? Haven't they been for the last 2 years?
That's kind of why, because yes, they were number two in points scored this year behind Kansas City.
But this seems like this is more Kellen Moore saying, I want to be out of here.
Well, and that's what we talked about earlier. If this is indeed, and here's my read of it. And I need Ty in on this because Ty's the big Cowboys fan. Because when I saw that I thought Joe Philbin was doing a hell of a job with that offensive line. I don't know. I mean, gosh, Skip Pete running the quarter, the running backs. I mean, the development of Tony Pollard has been great. I mean, he can't change Zeke Elliott. I mean, Zeke Elliott's an old, washed-up running back.
Well, you're right, Mike. There may be something else going on. If Kellen, you're right. They may be saying something's going on here.
Yeah, well, and now Doug Nussmeier, the quarterback's coach, is out. And it all centers around Dak. And his 15 interceptions and his lack of back-to-back years against San Francisco in the postseason, not being able to move the team consistently and score enough points to win a playoff game.
And McCarthy, that may be Jerry telling him, no, you're going to earn your money now. You're calling plays.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
This decision yesterday with the mutually have agreed to part ways.
Because Sean Payton's about to be my guy after you screwed this up one more year.
Right. Well, and it sounds like Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones were pretty adamant they want Mike McCarthy to call the plays. Like, hey, we hired you. What's going on with Dak? You were, the quarterback whisperer with Aaron Rodgers, allegedly. And we need you to make sure Dak is going to reach. We're paying him as an elite quarterback. We need you.
And we're paying you as an elite coach. It's time for you to get our money's worth.
And you told us in the hiring process you feel like Dak can be an elite quarterback. It has all the skills to be an elite quarterback. Well, hell, back-to-back years in the playoffs, he's been anything but elite. He got outplayed by Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo in successive years. So this is where your ceiling is. So I think you're right about Kellen Moore. I think he had the opportunity to stay, but it was going to be under the guise that Mike McCarthy was going to be more involved in the offense.
He was just going to be a quarterback
and maybe calling plays, yeah. So Kellen Moore said, no, that's a step backwards. I'm going to move on. Because remember, when McCarthy was hired, I think the intention was he would be calling plays, but then Kellen Moore was already there and was doing a pretty good job, and Mike McCarthy's like, hey, I already got this kid who can call plays. Maybe I'll let him call plays.
Yeah, so Cowboys fan, you can look forward to a bunch of penalties and going back to that way it was 3 years ago now. Okay there, Ty? Get ready for all your offsides, jumping guys, jumping offsides.
I believe in Coach Big Mac.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
You really don't believe in him.
This somebody says, LOL, weren't you guys just saying the Cowboys need to make changes to improve? No, I mean, I am not surprised Kellen Moore's out. I am surprised the rest of the offensive staff is out. That's what surprises me. I thought, yeah, you could have a loggerheads between McCarthy and Moore because the owner and his son want McCarthy calling plays and getting the most out of Dak Prescott.
Yep.
And maybe hire a new and keep Kellen Moore on as offensive, quarterbacks coach to develop Dak. But now they're all gone. It's like we want a whole new, fresh approach. And gosh, the names that I'm seeing, and this is from John Machota, who covers the Cowboys daily with theathletic.com. And how about this? When he has, as far as names you're going to hear as offensive coordinator, let's keep in mind that Mike McCarthy will be calling the plays, but the offensive coordinator is going to signify the type of offense they're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was Kellen Moore's offense for the last several years. He was running it when Mike McCarthy got here, and they just tweaked it, but it was really him running it. How about this name? Does this do anything for you? Brian Schottenheimer.
That never does anything for me.
Hasn't he already been a
a terrible offensive coordinator?
Yes, that's
well,
what
he was
been.
A consultant on their staff this season, who was an assistant to Moore and Quinn on game planning and preparation. But he was a failure as an offense coordinator in Seattle under Pete Carroll, and that was when Russell Wilson was there. He's a pass game coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars under Urban Meyer. I mean,
is just Mike set up to get back to McDonald's and get back to work, because this will be
it. How
about
this name? Ben McAdoo.
No.
Who worked with, didn't he work with McCarthy in Green Bay? They worked together along the way. Ben McAdoo. Here's a name. Brian Johnson, Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach, who's done a great job with Jalen Hurts. This is a nickname that would pique your attention. But would this guy leave a Super Bowl team? But Brian Johnson's done a great job under Nick Sirianni with the offense in Philadelphia and with Jalen Hurts. He was Dak Prescott's quarterbacks coach for a season at Mississippi State. So, again, this is all centers around Big Mac and Dak. We know that.
What about Big Cliff?
Well, I don't want another guy that's buddy-buddy with Dak Prescott. I want someone that's going to coach him.
Hard.
Yeah, and coach him into the quarterback that he really is and not try to make him something he's not.
Because I remember the
you mean the quarterback that he really wants to be, not the quarterback.
Well, they're trying to make him into Patrick Mahomes.
Which he's not. Or Joe Burrow.
He needs to be doing more like what Daniel Jones was doing this year, just protecting the ball, handing it off, and making the throws.
I remember when
there.
He came in as a rookie and they could run the ball like crazy with the great offensive line and Zeke in his prime, and he played off of the play action, and we know his numbers against play action or with the play action are significantly better. So I think that's where they're going, that they need to get back to something like that. But, you know, you can't just steal the Eagles' offense because Dak Prescott can't run like Jalen Hurts does.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jalen Hurts is very decisive when it's time to go. Prescott,
he's 24 years old and he's got jets.
Yeah.
He's been a runner. He was a runner before he was a thrower. He's just gotten better at throwing. Now he's dual threat if there ever was one and devastating to offense.
And
defenses.
Dak is not just a step slower. He's a few steps slower than he was when he came into this league.
So we'll see. The other name? You're going to hear it's Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're talking.
Well, okay. I mean, but is Cliff Kingsbury going to take a job where he's not calling plays? Because remember, you're essentially walking into the Eric Bieniemy role in Kansas City where the boss is the boss.
I don't think he's going to do that. He'll stay in Bangkok.
They'd let Cliff call plays if it got to that point. If he wanted to be an offense coordinator for the Cowboys, I think they would.
I don't think he'll be the guy.
I think this is the setup for Mike McCarthy.
Is this setting him up for failure?
This is setting
to
up
prove
for,
it.
For Sean Payton to go in next year and be the head coach.
It doesn't feel like Sean. Now, I did read an article this morning that Arizona is putting pressure on Michael Bidwell, that they almost have to hire Sean Payton. Because they wanted Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn said, nah, I don't want to deal with Kyler and the injury.
Smart move on his part.
Frank Reich was somebody they were interested in. He took the Carolina job. As we said, Houston is likely to hire D'Amico Ryans today
or this
week.
Sean Payton's not taking that gig. They're going to pay him all the money they want. That guy's not going to go there and have to deal with Kyler Murray.
And the fact that Denver seemed like a good spot for Sean Payton, but there's been conflicting reports. And then over the weekend, the report that the new president of the Denver Broncos, head of that ownership group, flew to Ann Arbor, Michigan to speak to Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh has said he's not leaving, but it doesn't feel like the Broncos are wanting to take no for an answer from Jim Harbaugh. So they're trying to hit a home run. That would also indicate that Sean Payton and the Broncos are not close on a deal. And as we've speculated, maybe Payton realizes that the cost to acquire him and his services is going to be too great to the team he's going to. It would kind of handicap his ability to build the Texans if they have to give up so many draft picks or wherever he goes that maybe it's worth doing another year in the TV booth.
Yeah, when Kellen Moore left, I thought for sure he had something. He had Arizona maybe. They wanted him to go deal with Kyler Murray, and he was going to take that chance. I mean, eventually he has to take a chance.
Well, look, now that Kellen Moore's out.
Yeah.
You wonder if Arizona does become a possibility, because if they can't work out a Sean Payton deal.
Somebody has to coach them.
Somebody's got to coach that team.
And somebody has to be an offensive-minded coach for that team.
And because I said this from the jump, when Cliff Kingsbury was fired, and I don't criticize them for firing a coach who went 4-13, but at the same time, whoever you hire realizes that not only do I have to deal with Kyler Murray, remember, he hurt his knee in December.
Yeah, he won't be around for your install.
When you're
He'll
trying
be
to
there.
Install your offense, he's not there to help you install. He's rehabbing.
Yeah, he's playing Game Boy or whatever the hell he plays.
Yeah, he can't be part of your install of your offense throughout the offseason, mini camps, training camp, and who knows when he's actually cleared to play. His injury, pretty significant knee injury this late in a season.
He may not play for a whole season.
Right. You may just
because they said mid-season in a report that came out this week. But, I mean, if it gets to the point mid-season, then you're already not looking at a playoff spot. Why even play next
That's
year?
Right.
And I said that might be worth just biting the bullet and keeping Cliff for one more year because it's going to make your coaching search very difficult. And I think the Cardinals are finding that out. And maybe Kellen Moore looks at it and says, okay, look, I'm not with the Cowboys anymore. All these other jobs are filled. I'll be the one to wait on Kyler. And I'll go hire a great coaching staff, and I'll be the one that – If
he wants to be a head coach, sometimes you're going to have to take that kind of.
He would be the right guy.
He's not going to the Texans. They're not hiring him.
Frank Reich just left a bad situation in Indianapolis. He's not going to walk into a bad situation if he doesn't have to. And then Dan Quinn, who could have had the job, it sounds like, said, because remember, he had a second interview. Clearly, he interviewed the Cardinals as much as they interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll go back to Dallas. I like it here. They're paying me very well. I get to coach Micah Parsons and a great defense. I'll wait. And it kind of sounded more
like. They're
about
to pay me really well.
It's kind of sounding like Sean Payton is saying the same thing. Well, I'll wait. There isn't an ideal
sure.
spot. And let me say this as a Texans fan. I would be thrilled to see DeMeco Ryans get the Houston job. I wanted Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton would be great. But DeMeco Ryans, as a player, everything I've read and seen and heard about and the way he's built the culture with the San Francisco 49ers defense. I know he built on top of what Robert Saleh, the Jets coach, did. Love DeMeco Ryans, though. He is a leader's leader. He was a captain for Nick Saban at Alabama, or I think he might have predated Nick Saban or maybe crossed over. Then he was a great player for the Texans in the middle. He was a great player in Philadelphia. He's everything you want in a leader.
Yeah, all the linebackers in the 49ers talk about how great he is.
Yeah.
Just like the linebackers talked about how Purdy felt so bad about losing that game and got hurt. And they said without him, they wouldn't have been there.
We don't get here.
Yeah, we don't get here without that guy playing the way he played.
And so we'll take your thoughts on the Cowboys. Is this all about Mike McCarthy? The owner saying, hey, look, we hired you to fix and get the most out of this high-priced quarterback. We agreed he could be elite. He hasn't played elite football. And this year he regressed because he threw 15 interceptions. And we need to get that fixed. So we're going to hire you. We hired you. We're going to make you fix that. And if Kellen Moore
and if you can't do it, Sean Payton will be our coach next year.
Sean Payton will be our coach next year.
Yeah, and also Tom Brady will be headed to San Francisco, and Aaron Rodgers will be headed to the New York Jets.
Well, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan's window.
Yes.
Because, look, he's been in the NFC title game. He went to the Super Bowl
about his window because he has great play. I'm not saying – he's all of a sudden not going to – or San Francisco is not going to be good. But he's got a great – I mean, his window is a great open window right now.
Yeah.
And he's got to get that quarterback stuff fixed.
Yeah. Because he nearly got there with – he did get there with Garoppolo and lost, right, the Belichick game. No, that was the Rams. Who did he lose to? The Chiefs. Chiefs beat him. And Patrick Mahomes. And then he got to the NFC Championship game last year with Garoppolo, lost to the Rams, who won the Super Bowl. And this year – he gets there with Purdy, and Purdy gets hurt on the first series and never had a chance. And so, yes, he's got to get that solved. But think about this as a conundrum for Kyle Shanahan. First off, we don't know how injured Brock Purdy is.
True.
We're talking about Kyler Murray's injury. If he's got a significant elbow injury, Ty, you said you hurt your elbow, the UCL, the ulnar collateral ligament?
Yes. And it's the biggest thing there is nerve damage.
Correct.
The ulnar nerve.
And if you're a quarterback, you have to treat that like a pitcher in baseball.
Sure.
Then you're probably going Tommy John. You're probably bringing
if it's torn completely.
If it's torn, you're going, and that's a year out. If you're a defensive lineman or offensive lineman, and you tear that, you can keep playing. You don't throw.
Well, we also saw Josh Allen had that similar injury to his UCL this season. He played through it, but he said after their loss to the Bengals that it seriously affected him for 4 to 5 weeks.
Well, I know this. If I can get old man Brady for a year with that 49ers offense and those players.
Nah.
Why not? I mean,
there's a lot of factors.
Well, I know you're going to end up. There's a couple of the guys on that team you're going to have to start paying.
Well, John Lynch. They have a talented roster, which means eventually you have a expensive roster,
right?
For sure, and that's their issue. And that's again, that goes back to the Eagles and the luxury of having a quarterback who's making $500,000 this year, in Jalen Hurts or $5 million. What makes $5 million? You can have a deep roster, but here's the thing in San Francisco. Let's just assume Brock Purdy, let's say it's a 3 or 4 month injury, right? Okay, we can live with that. He can be healthy by training camp in the summer. We'll get him healthy. He can. I mean, would you still make him your quarterback? What do you do with Trey Lance, who's coming off an injury? Of course, he got hurt first week of the year, which put Jimmy Garoppolo back in the starter's role. Jimmy G is going to be gone. But you're saying they should scrap all that and go Tom Brady.
Yeah, scrap all that. And then you know who my guy will be? It will be Brock Purdy. To give him a year with Tom Brady.
Right, and go ahead and trade Trey Lance.
And by the way, if Tom Brady ever got there and they won a Super Bowl, he's not leaving the next. It won't be a one and done with him.
40. How about the combined age of the quarterbacks who started the game yesterday, Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts, equaling what Tom Brady will turn this year? If you add the ages of Purdy and Hurts, it's 47. That is going to be what Tom Brady turns this year.
Yeah, and I'd take my chance with that old dude, with that offensive line, that running game, and those wide receivers, and the things you can do.
I'll say one other thing on the Niners side of it, because the Eagles were phenomenal yesterday. They were more physical. They were explosive. They were everything that, you know, if, you know, what are they now, 16-3 and through 19 games. They've just and when Jalen Hurts is on the field, they don't lose, and he's healthy. I would say this. I don't think Deebo Samuel ever got back to full health from that ankle injury. I mean, he was not the explosive Deebo Samuel we've seen. So in addition to having a fourth-string quarterback who also got hurt and no quarterback, Christian McCaffrey was great. But Deebo wasn't even Deebo. So this is where Kyle Shanahan, when you talk about his window, he's got to get to the peak with a healthy team. He's got to get to the finish line with a healthy team and quarterback.
Let me tell you, that defense yesterday, where they were doing as much as they could for as long as they could. They just ran out of gas. You can't just keep
– right.
Go three and out, and putting those guys on against that offensive line.
Well, and think about it. The first touchdown really shouldn't have counted if the officials had seen it, or if Kyle Shanahan had thrown the red hanky. There's no touchdown there. That's 49er ball, and it's nothing. And then when it was 14-7 and your backup quarterback is in and he's kind of stabilized things, right? Christian McCaffrey had the great touchdown run, and, okay, you kind of felt like, okay, they can be in this if he just manages the game. Well, this dude just drops the ball and gives the ball right to the Eagles, and they score right before the half, which made it 21-7. I mean, that's the stuff you can't overcome. But you're right. Their defense, if they had a healthy quarterback, I think was going to give them a chance to win the ball game.
They would have drove the ball down the field for a couple first downs, yes.
Yes, I think they would have given them a chance. Now, would the Eagles have been more creative and had to go deeper into the playbook
and the game plan
if they knew they had to face a real quarterback? Probably so.
I mean, it's still – I mean, they're not – Eagles are still winning by 2 touchdowns, 10 points, or whatever it took.
Yeah.
They were still going to win that game. If Brock Purdy was healthy, they were not going to beat the Eagles. Eagles are the best team in the football right now.
They are. They are, and they're on the road, and I agree with you. But at the same time, we would have gotten a competitive game, and anything can happen in one of those spots. But, I mean, that's why the Eagles have now won both games by 21 or more points. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's only happened 3 other times in the history of the NFL. But we'll take your thoughts on the Cowboys. This seems like it's.
But wouldn't you take you wouldn't take Brady in San Francisco for a year?
I would. I think he's going to Vegas. I'll say this again for Tom Brady. My deciding factor on that is at 46, almost 47 years old, I don't think he wants to learn a whole new system, start over in an offense he's never played in.
But you're not rebuilding anything there. A rebuild.
He's still got to learn the offense.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying if you're his age and Josh McDaniel was running the offense you ran your whole life, right? He's running the New England Patriot offense with the same terminology. I mean, it's It's like the back of your hand. You walk right into Vegas, know the playbook, know the plays, and you've got if they can re-sign Josh Jacobs, you've got the leading rusher in the NFL. You've got Darren Waller and Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfrow. And a decent offensive line. But again, that would be my lean.
I don't even know what you do with Trey Lance. I mean,
Trade him.
I'll take him on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You would
back
take
up
him
to Dak?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
Put a little pressure on
that. Well,
I still think that
lines up for me with the domino to. It's like it makes sense that the Packers would trade Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. It makes sense that they would trade Trey Lance to the Tennessee Titans because the Titans just hired Rand Carthon to be their general manager. He was intimately involved in the scouting of Trey Lance. He knows the player. They need a quarterback for the future because Malik Willis is not Ryan
Tannehill.
Aaron
Rodgers do anything for you in San Fran? No.
Sure it does. If they could work out that trade, geez Louise. Come on now. By the way, somebody said Brady is 45. He'll turn 46.
During the season?
Coming up. All right.
Yeah.
Well, still, you know, the two quarterbacks who played combined 47, so we're 1 year above that. I mean, and we saw him play this year. He played good, but he's not the same. right? We would all agree he's not the same.
He would be protected better. They would run better. He would have better weapons at wide receiver. I would take that chance for 1 year.
So you think it's you would take San Fran greater than Raiders?
Yes, one year. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. If I win one Super Bowl, I think I'm good for a couple years.
Why would you like? But if you're Kyle Shanahan, why would you even deal with Tom Brady at this point?
Win a Super Bowl?
With the guys that I have right now, yes, to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's what I
is Tom Brady that argument. Much better than Brock Purdy at this point?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
with that cast of offense, yes, he would be better.
Well, another year of age.
Well, no one knows better than Kyle Shanahan because he's been around Brock Purdy the whole year and knows what Trey Lance is all about, and he's going to lose Garoppolo. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. I just keep think Vegas makes sense. I think the Jets for Aaron Rodgers makes sense. Derek Carr, where's Derek Carr going becomes a big question. Trey Lance, I kind of like Tennessee.
By the way, he is Brock Purdy. So they can, eventually – we can all come down from he's won 10 games. No,
but he
no, no. You
great.
Can.
How can you do him dirty?
You can do, I'm not doing it. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. I'm not trying to do that dude dirty. You know what he can do? He can stay as the backup to Tom Brady for a year. If Tom Brady wins one Super Bowl there, guess what he's trying to do again? He wants to keep on playing, right? He doesn't say, oh, I retire after this Super Bowl win. Or maybe he does. Now, Brock Purdy's got a chance to learn a year with Tom Brady. Well, it's about winning the Super Bowl for the 49ers. It's not about.
I agree.
You're
offloading Garoppolo's contract. You can move forward with paying Brock Purdy whatever a seventh rounder makes and apply that money somewhere else where you need it more. You know,
I'm just saying I don't think Brock Purdy can get you a Super Bowl. This was a nice story, but I don't think he can win you a Super Bowl.
I don't think Tom Brady can win you a Super Bowl at this point.
Ooh, there we go. We'll take your thoughts. Good stuff right there.
There you go.
And do you believe this, that Mike McCarthy –
get you anywhere?
No,
calling plays.
Remember, Mike McCarthy said in the wake of the Dan Quinn return, Mike McCarthy, who now is going to be calling plays for the Cowboys, said that Jerry Jones said he wants me to coach as long as Tom Landry did. Now,
was that 29, 20, 30 years?
Jerry Jones did not say that, but Mike McCarthy saying that Jerry Jones told him he wants him to coach as long as Tom Landry did. So that is a.
That would put him in his mid 70s?
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, I guess that's Jerry's way of giving him a job security pat on the back. But at the same time, it feels like, okay, fix Dak or we're bringing in Sean Payton.
Yeah.
That's the way it reads.
And I think Sean Payton got that read. Sean Payton got that. If he doesn't take this Arizona job for the money, then he got that read from Jerry Jones, or he got that call from Jerry Jones, said, none of these are worth it for you. But guess what's worth it for you?
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys. Because I'm going to let this guy call plays this year. He's running the whole show.
Well, I will say this, and this is not a tongue-in-cheek comment. Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy are really close, like really, really tight.
Zeke?
Look, I mean, I think in the waning years in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers didn't have a good relationship. They didn't like one another, and I think that part of it what spoiled what was going on there. Now, Dak Prescott respects Mike McCarthy through the roof. I mean, those stories have been told. Those stories have been written. When he was going through his rehab after he broke his leg, Mike McCarthy would drive him home every night. They would sit out on the back porch and talk football. And I mean, they're really close. So I can understand what the Joneses are thinking. Look, Kellen Moore, he doesn't want to not call plays, but we want Mike to call plays. We want Mike to work with Dak and get the most out of Dak. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm saying that's what they're seeing. We hired this coach to be the quarterback developer that he was in before. We need that right now. We need to fix Dak if we're going to go where we want to go. We're going to charge Mike McCarthy to build a staff and build an offense that can get the most out of number four moving forward, because we know Zeke's out. They don't know about Tony Pollard. They don't know about Dalton Schultz. What they do know is they have Dak and they have CeeDee Lamb, and they have to build around that moving forward. So I see where they're going. We'll take your thoughts on it. A lot of conversations to be had with only two teams left in the NFL. It's B&E on the Horn.
B&E.
All right, busy week on the Horn. It's a lot going on coming out of Championship Sunday. We know Texas hoops tonight. Craig Way on the call with Eddie Oren and the team. It'll be 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip, Baylor and Texas. Longhorns coming off that rough loss at Tennessee. Volunteers very, very impressive in that performance. Rick Barnes' team is the real deal. They got guards, they got bigs, the number one defense in the country right now. And historically, they're playing some of the best defense we've seen. They still got 6 weeks or so of basketball to go, but, man, they're putting up some ridiculous numbers on the defensive end of the floor. They are the hardest team to score against in the country, right now. And the Longhorns ran into that on Saturday in front of a sellout crowd in Knoxville. Now they're going to have a sellout crowd of their own tonight against the streaking Baylor Bears, who have won six straight games. So be ready for that game. Plus, Buck, we've got a lot coming this week. The Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl. Now, I did look this up because we talked about Stetson Bennett, the Georgia two-time national championship winning quarterback, getting arrested in the greater Dallas area early morning hours of, I believe it was Sunday, for public intoxication. Apparently he had a few too. What are you doing at 6 a.m.? You're up way too late. You're a grown man here, guy. Now, somebody said, because we had talked about, was he going to the Senior Bowl? And I remember right in the wake of the national championship win over TCU that there was kind of a push. Hey, why isn't Stetson getting a chance at the Senior Bowl to show his stuff? And Jim Nagy, who's the executive director of the Senior Bowl, responded to some people saying, let me look into it. Probably has earned a spot. But I never heard anything happen. So I just went to the official rosters at the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile. It's interesting that there are two teams. There's the American team and the national team. The Longhorns have two members of the national team, and that would be Roshan Johnson and DeMarvion Overshown. They'll be playing for Team National Team. And there are four quarterbacks on that team as well, I believe. Or no, there's three. This is what's interesting to me. At the positions, there are three QBs. Malik Cunningham of Louisville, Jake Hayner of Fresno State, and Jaron Hall of Brigham Young. Yes, I know you're all saying, who? Yeah, those are your three quarterbacks for the national team. But only three. If you go to the American team, which features four quarterbacks, Buck, and those would be Max Duggan, TCU, also Hendon Hooker of Tennessee, Tyson Badgett from Shepherd University, and Clayton Toon from Houston. Now, so they're four on one, three on the one other. I wonder if did Stetson Bennett lose his opportunity with what went on? I don't know, because he got arrested. What's he doing? Because one team has four, one has three. Seems like there's
so once again, what was he doing?
Drinking.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. Was he drinking and knocking on doors?
Yes. Feels like he was wandering to try to find where he was staying or something and was drunk and didn't know where to get, how to get where he's getting. And you ever done that? Walk in the wrong door, sleep in the wrong place,
I've never. I don't know.
You did leave a Cadillac in Florida one time.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. But you know what I didn't do? I wasn't drinking and driving.
That's true. Because you just left the Cadillac.
Yeah, I just left it.
It's a beautiful thing.
Got a ride home.
Love that.
But I've never knocked on the wrong door. I don't like to get shot at.
I don't like to get shot at.
No.
Well, that's kind of the things for Stetson Bennett. It's early morning hours. You're wandering around. You've had way too much to drink. Yeah, lucky he didn't get himself.
That's right. Fired
some
upon.
Some kind of gunshot fire. By the way, I saw where there are 6 Alabama Crimson Tide players there. Georgia's got a bunch of guys. And TCU. TCU has a bunch at the Senior Bowl, including Max Duggan. They got 5 guys. Playing at the Senior Bowl in Mobile.
D. Winters will be there, linebacker.
And remember, Hendon Hooker not playing. He's hurt. So maybe that's where the 3-3. They had Hendon Hooker's on the roster. Maybe he'll be there to do some interviews, but he's not going to play.
TCU fans, tell me, is D. Winters a real true linebacker, or is he more like a nickel guy? I mean, he covers guys. I mean, he couldn't cover the guys from Georgia. Nobody could. But is he a true linebacker? Is he big enough as a linebacker? Because the more I look at him, the more I think the Texans always find guys from TCU and places like that.
Houston Texans?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd like to meet some D. Winters. He's from Texas.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Texans. He's from Brenham. He's 6'1", 230. I mean.
Oh, no, he's big enough. He's plenty big enough.
Yeah, plenty big enough. No, I think he's a guy that can really show out. I mean, he's a good player. This is what this Senior Bowl is all about. A guy like Roshan Johnson is going to feast on this.
Because remember last year they took the kid from Baylor, the Texans.
And loved him. Jalen Petrie.
Oh, he's just.
Jalen Petrie.
Yeah. This guy reminds
player.
Me an awful lot of him.
Just with the instincts?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be fine because if you're going to hire D'Amico Ryans, the Houston's run defense has been poor. You could use a young linebacker like that for sure. But, a bunch of guys. We'll be watching that. Also, the East-West Shrine Game is Thursday night, I believe, is when that's going to be happening. So we got a lot to do as far as the Longhorns. We also know Wednesday is the second National Signing Day, Buck, the final one. With
Texas
really
waiting on this tie in, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting, and we'll get to our those in the know conversations. But when you're looking at the next few days, Longhorns had, you know, they've pretty much filled their roster, right, with the recruiting class that was mostly in the bag.
And coaches.
In the in the books in before Christmas, and then coaches and
– Well, they still haven't hired the offensive
analyst.
Yeah.
Or the assistant to the head coach role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that come down yet, and so we'll keep an eye on that. But as far as the roster goes, with the recruiting class and the transfers, the winter transfer portal season's over. So they're not going to have, but the two players Texas is still after, you mentioned the tight end. His name is Deuce Robinson. He's from Phoenix, Arizona, Pinnacle High School. And they are not giving up on this. Georgia and USC are seen as the favorites. And remember, this is the kid who's also a tremendous baseball player. So he's a two-sport guy. David Pierce would be involved in this recruitment, basically saying, hey, come on. And so, you know, Texas is in on it. And, you know, the conflicting reports, some say Texas feels like they have a chance and they're going to go to the wire on this thing. Obviously, others saying Georgia. I mean, this kid's seen the way Georgia uses tight ends and features tight ends, Lincoln Riley at USC. So that'll come down on Wednesday. Also, there's a kid from Red Oak, Texas, a commit to TCU, a safety named Warren Robertson. He also is... He's pledged to TCU, but he's still taking visits, so people are keeping an eye on him, including the Longhorns. But that's part of a busy week here coming up with your Texas Longhorns, and we will certainly be following it for you. We're also now have an extra week to talk about the Super Bowl with Philadelphia and the Kansas City Chiefs. How healthy – because you said earlier you thought Mahomes was playing about 60% on that ankle.
Yeah, 70%.
Because extra, you know, therapy he took. I mean, the reports were as soon as the game was over against Jacksonville last weekend, he began a very aggressive treatment campaign, as you would expect, pretty much 24-hour treatment on that ankle to get him as healthy as possible. But any work they did,
well,
he re-injured it yesterday.
I mean, he'll get better. I mean, obviously he'll be better.
Is he 80% by the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but guess what? Things speed up a little bit more with that defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles, too.
Yes. Well, and I thought the Bengals' defense played pretty darn well. I thought he made the throws he made weren't easy, and then he had his receiver core all banged up.
That's why Philadelphia is going to be a 7-point winner in this game, because things will speed up. And if you thought Cincinnati got after him, wait till the Philadelphia Eagles get after him.
Especially if they know we really
and you know
can't
how they are over there in Philly. They'll dance around you, and you know they're acting like they'd have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Like, I don't think anybody...
As my sister said...
Is it fair to say that
sounds like every time they score here, it sounds like muskets going off.
Isn't it fair to say anybody that's not an Eagles fan will be rooting for Nick Sirianni not to win a Super Bowl? Because...
He was more controlled this week.
He was a little more controlled, but, you know, he's one of those... He's a kind of in-your-face, brash coach who's got that Jersey East Coast impact on him. He's a real good coach. He's done a real good job.
Yes, he has. And that defensive coordinator's done a fantastic
Jonathan
job,
Gannon,
too.
Yeah, another one. They both have done phenomenal. Yeah, that'll be the challenge. Andy Reid, obviously, will be a big storyline, having coached the Eagles for 14 years and then 10 years now in Kansas City. He will be a center of conversation for sure. But Nick Sirianni there
I'll
as
say
well.
This. If Kellen Moore has an opportunity to be a head coach, it's time to go. If he does.
Arizona's his last stop at the inn.
You don't think he'll be in with the Colts? No chance, right?
It just sounds like Jeff Saturday. It feels like that's what Jim...
Quit saying that. That guy's not... Jim Irsay is not going to rehire Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday is done. There is no way he's bringing that guy back.
This was all a plan.
To win four games next year.
They were so good in the fourth quarter under Jeff Saturday.
Oh, the players will absolutely... There will be a mutiny there.
Well, we'll see.
They can pretend they like that guy. They're trying to win in the NFL.
Give him a full offseason, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that sounds like an owner. You're right, that does sound like
we'll see. We'll see. I don't know what's happening in Indianapolis. I've read reports that he is still in the mix, and they haven't hired a coach yet. But yeah, Kellen Moore.
I think he did, and I think Kellen Moore parted ways with the Cowboys more so than them saying whatever, like you said.
Right, well, I think that speaks to that the Cowboys want him to Mike McCarthy to call plays and run the offense and fix Dak Prescott.
And so this is just a setup for them to lose. This is a Jerry setup for Sean Payton, that's all.
Right, and Sean, and I possibly. Or he and Dak work some miracles. Because at this point, Dak's performance in the playoffs the last few years just got the whole offensive staff fired.
Dak ain't Aaron Rodgers. There's no miracles to be made here.
We'll be back. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Now this is a story all about how my life got turned upside down. And
Fresh
I'd like to
Prince
take a minute, just
to wrap
right
it up on a Monday. Busy week coming. Somebody mentioned, you guys didn't mention the Pro Bowl this week. Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
why?
Right.
How could we forget?
Yeah, why?
No.
Seriously, my chances of watching NFL any of that are zero.
Let me just say this. The NFL needs to stop calling it the Pro Bowl if there is no game. Right. Well, there is a flag football game, I guess. And guess, just like everything else.
Skills. It's another skills challenge,
well, it's like
right?
Field Day meets a flag football game.
Love
well, and
one.
Of course, like everything in the NFL, the Manning brothers are a part of it. They're coaching this thing in AFC, NFC, because, of course, Peyton played his whole career in the AFC, Eli in the NFC. So the Manning brothers are all over this thing. That'll be coming up. Obviously, the Super Bowl, looking forward to it. This is as good a matchup as we've had in a while. It's the first time since 2017 that both the one seeds made it through. These are the top seeds. These are both 16-3 on the year if you add their playoff wins. I mean, there's a lot to like about this matchup. There's a lot of sizzle to it because as much as we can gush about the Eagles not having been challenged in the playoffs yet, it's hard to challenge the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a great, great player. I mean, you knew it. If you watch Patrick Mahomes his first year as a starter, you were seeing him do things you've really never seen a quarterback do. And he was just kind of learning at that point. Now you see him able to throw for well over 300 yards with injured receivers with one leg. I mean, he wouldn't have been able to do that a few years ago. I mean, his ability to read a defense, hit tight windows, he was great yesterday. Those are the kind of games that legends are made upon. And unfortunately,
yeah, Joe missed an opportunity yesterday.
Joe Burrow, yeah.
Yes, well, he really did. You don't
well,
get those.
Two Joes. Unfortunately, Joe Osai will forever be linked to that game in a terrible way. And it just we talked about it all morning. We've heard from Joseph Osai this morning. I mean, it's just it's a play you can't make. And you hate that that kid played such a great game up to that point. But his 15 yards on top of the punt return the Bengals allowed were really the reasons that they were able to have time to kick that field goal and not go to overtime. And you hate that for him.
And Joe Burrow, like you said, in the fourth quarter, had opportunities to get down the field and win that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would say to all the Bengals fans crying about officiating.
Oh, yeah.
It was 20-20 early in the fourth quarter, and the Bengals had opportunities to go score a field goal of their own, score another touchdown. They knew Patrick Mahomes was banged up and the receiving core was depleted, and they made their own mistakes. The intentional grounding from Joe Burrow was a critical mistake. The punt right down the middle of the field, not angle punting that to allow a long punt return. You can't allow that long punt return in that moment, Buck.
Well, they also caught a couple fair catches, like at the 9-yard line.
Yeah.
I'd go ahead and give that a chance to go. I don't care. If they get it at the 2, they do. But you can't fair catch every one of those things at the 5, the 4, the 12. I mean, let it have an opportunity to go in, know what I'm saying, into the end zone. They did a lot of fair. Their punt returner fair caught a lot of balls really deep inside.
Deep inside.
Yeah.
Deep inside. I mean, those are two such evenly matched teams. We knew that going in. It was their fourth matchup in 400 days. The other three games were Bengals wins by 3 points on a field goal. And, again, that's what you hate for Joseph Osai, the lifetime Longhorn, is the total yards, first downs, yards per play, points. Everything was dead even, 20-20. And they were going to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoved them out of bounds, and 15 yards made up the difference they needed. They didn't have the clock time, or they couldn't run another play, really. They weren't close enough for a field goal. They probably would have just gone to OT or throw to Hail Mary or something.
I'm thinking you're right. I don't think they would have taken a chance. I think they would have just taken a knee and said, that's it.
Yeah. And if not for that, who knows where that game goes. And that's what you hate for the young guy. But he'll be back. He'll be better. Joseph Osai is going to be a great player for the Cincinnati Bengals. I can guarantee you that. We got a good Super Bowl, though. First time, we got two kids from Texas?
Yes, sir.
Two high school players from the state of Texas in the Super Bowl. Two black quarterbacks for the first time, Buck, starting. And two Big 12 quarterbacks.
Two winners of their conferences. I like that. Number one seeds. I like it.
Yeah, man. All right, Buck. Have a great Monday.
You too.
Stay warm. Ty, get some heat, brother. Get some heat.
Tomorrow's the day.
His heat's off. Somebody didn't pay the bill. I don't know. It was a mishap down at the gas station. But y'all have a great Monday. If you missed any part of the show, it's all there for you. Podcast at hornfm.com. Light the Tower coming next here on The Horn.